Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number 2, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program, who joins us every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. Stilly, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm fabulous. How are you guys?
Doing wonderful.
Super.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. We've talked a lot about Sam Darnold this morning. Charles Robinson came on our show yesterday and talked about the last two games, Minnesota, maybe leaving a little bit of a sting on the Darnold front. Do you feel like Darnold could be even more attainable? You've thrown the trade scenario out there that we've talked about.
Sure.
Do you feel like it could be just straight-up free agency where Sam Darnold could be attainable for the Titans this offseason?
I mean, I hope. I hope. That'd be nice, eh? You know, you don't have to trade any picks and you get the quarterback for a team that wants, what is it, 12 picks in the top 100 over the next 3 years. It would make it a lot easier to trade the number one pick if you didn't have to use the number one pick on a quarterback, and you would keep the 35th pick because you wouldn't have to trade it for a quarterback. I have a hard time believing the Vikings are going to do that simply because the supply and demand of the market. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. Baker Mayfield last year did not get the franchise tag, I believe. Now, he might have signed before the deadline. Like, he might have signed before the tag deadline or right around free agency. But I don't think Baker got the tag last year. And they still worked out a reasonable contract with Baker coming off of kind of a similar year to what Sam Darnold had. Now, Baker didn't poop in the playoffs the way that Darnold did, but they came to an agreement there. It was almost like Tampa Bay wasn't really afraid of Baker going anywhere else.
That's correct. He did not get tagged.
I just think the supply and demand at the quarterback position, outside of Sam Darnold, there's nobody. Like, there is nobody, and there are so many teams that need quarterbacks. You know, Darnold is a special case because I don't think he can go to the Browns, because I don't think they'd pay two quarterbacks. I don't think Darnold goes to the Jets because he's already been on the Jets. So that kind of leaves it to the Titans, the Raiders, and the Giants. And then with the Giants, even though he didn't play for them, he has been in New York, and I think there has to be a concern about how that would work. So, I mean, I don't think that the last two games would dissuade me from using the franchise tag on him, and if I have to keep him because I can't trade him, I don't think that those last two games would dissuade me from doing that if I was Minnesota. But I mean, I would be very excited if he ends up not getting tagged.
Anything from the Senior Bowl this week really catch your fancy, Jared? Have you been carefully tracking the blocking sleds and whatnot?
I didn't go to the Senior Bowl, so I don't.
Well, I know you didn't go. I mean, you listen to Boston Sports Radio all day, too. You don't go to Boston for it. What, I mean, you haven't been following along with the Senior Bowl?
With the Senior Bowl? I mean, I don't know if you guys learned this last year, but the great Rand Carthon told us that going to the Senior Bowl was not important. And so
you taking your cues from him.
But hey, they're down there this year still. It's been an about face.
If you know, they've taken everybody down there this year. I mean, there was one little video on Twitter of Brinker Borgonzi, Dave Ziegler, Callahan, and Denard Wilson all walking together on the field at the Senior Bowl. And I'm like, what happened to last year? We can watch the tape of the Senior Bowl whenever. The Senior Bowl doesn't matter. Jared, you're just a hater. You hate Rand. You're a racist. That's why. I'm like, okay. I haven't paid any attention to the Senior Bowl. I'm not going to lie. You know, TD said the guys he liked. I'll just, you know, you cut that, play that. I mean, I got to tell you, I really thought I was going to sit down and watch this East-West Bowl last night. I probably watched about 5 minutes, and I couldn't take it anymore.
I'm glad. No.
Again,
that makes me very happy that you turned that thing off.
I'm sorry. I just can't. I don't. Just give me the summary, and then we'll go from there.
Again, Jared can't go 5 minutes without, Jared, yeah. Like you got that voice in your head. Jared, no, you're wrong, Jared.
I think it's his YouTube chat voice. It's the YouTube chat voice.
Is that what
it is? YouTube chat was all over Jared for a lot of the offseason. It did happen.
YouTube chat's always on my ass. I mean, the YouTube chat.
There's some Rand love in the YouTube chat.
I mean, it was wild to me, you know, for how long it was about the whole, Jared, you don't know. And first of all, I wasn't claiming to know anything about Rand. Like, I didn't know if Rand was going to get fired or not until, like, probably, Joe, when did I tell you Rand was getting fired? Like, the Saturday before he got fired, I was like, yeah, Rand's getting fired.
Now, wait a minute. According to the Brinker, he didn't find out till Monday night, right?
That's true.
How did Brinker not know until Monday night? That's crazy. Callahan talked on Monday. Well, you know, there's all this conjecture. That's amazing that it was just known out in the public, and those guys had no clue. Weird.
Yeah.
We've talked so much about the suits.
I mean, just remember who called you on Saturday and said, Joe, I'm pretty sure Carthon's getting fired. Yeah. I was like, I'm here, Carthon's getting fired. And I love it every time that you guys bring that up to Paul and he gets all defensive about it. He's like, hey, got things wrong too. Like, yeah, but I didn't say everybody was coming back, Paulie, did I?
Are you still, but that's a fair point. Are you still sticking with Brinker wants Callahan fired? He's smiling at his face, but he wants him fired?
I do believe that Brinker wanted to fire the coach, yes.
Okay. All right.
Well, every segment you have should be revolve around that, you know?
Well, I mean, the thing that I found to be ridiculous last week was, you know, when Paul was in for Robbie, because Robbie was on his deathbed, apparently.
Yes.
And Paul just went freaking bananas about how I said, like, look, last year, this was a collaborative group. This was, you know, Brian, we want you right here telling us who you want, what kind of players you want. Rand, we want you to go work with Brian to find the players Brian wants. I'm telling you right now, that's not what this is this year. Like, Brian Callahan's opinion could not matter less. I mean, I am telling you, like, I know that if they take a quarterback with the first pick, it will not be scheme dependent on a coach, which to me is translation for, we're not taking a quarterback for Brian Callahan. We're taking a quarterback for us, and then we want Brian Callahan to coach him if we take a quarterback. And then, again, I think there's a difference between, hey, we're not really relying on the coach's input when we make draft picks as compared to, they're going to draft players the coach hates, which is what Paul said that I said, which I didn't say. But I don't think Brian Callahan's opinion matters at all, really, on the personnel front, especially the higher-end personnel.
That's pretty dumb, Jared. Come on.
I'm just telling you. Like,
this is your bro-hug analysis?
I am telling you. Like, again, do you think that if I said something as exact as they are not going – if they draft a quarterback, they are not going to draft a quarterback who is scheme-dependent on any one coach – like, do you think I'm just making that up?
No. Now, I would also hope you're not drafting a quarterback number one overall that's scheme-dependent
exactly.
on
anybody. Who does that, Jared? I mean, scheme-dependent? What, tell me the draft picks where it's like, oh, no, this guy doesn't fit our – if you're a great quarterback, they will draft you, and they will fit their scheme to you. That's what smart
you
people do.
You cannot put Lamar Jackson into Tom Brady's scheme and expect Lamar Jackson to have success.
What you did was you brought Lamar Jackson into a very different scheme, and then when he got the job, you changed the scheme around him. That's what teams do. Like I just said, that's what smart people
that's
do, Jared.
That's what good teams do.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, we have to – again, Joe, for some reason, like the other day, and I truly thought that – and Caroline didn't say this, but I should have won Jared versus Joe – simply off Joe making some comment like, Jared, you think NFL teams just sit around with their fingers in their butts all day doing nothing? I was like, the New York Jets pick players based off of Madden football. We have to remember that there are teams that are incompetent in this league. And quite frankly, you're one of them. So when it comes to the idea scheme, I actually talked to a general manager, gosh, like 6 weeks ago. And I asked, I said, why do all these quarterbacks fail so badly? You know, like, I mean, these guys don't all suck coming out of college. And he said, because a lot of times the coaches try to get the quarterbacks to do what they coach and not focus on what the quarterback is capable of doing. I think that happens far more often than you think, where, you know, a coach thinks that he's got the perfect scheme and it tells the quarterback, we're going to run my scheme because my scheme is a great scheme. You will see. And I think at times it hurts the quarterback. I still contend that if Jeff Fisher had the foresight or the ability to do what John Harbaugh has done with Lamar Jackson and build the offense around Vince Young, there's a much better chance that Vince Young could have been successful than what ended up happening with Vince Young, because Vince Young was an unbelievable talent as a rookie. But instead of, hey, we're going to really put a scheme around you, they tried to put him into Norm Chow's Matt Leinart USC scheme, and that was never going to work.
Got a little spicy between you and Hal Gill yesterday on the UC Soros front, huh?
I hope he set you straight. He's actually awesome this year. UC.
Soros?
Yeah.
Yeah, with his 899
His teammates think
percentage.
He's awesome.
That's what we heard.
So I got to tell you, what drives me insane about the Predators is kind of the sacred cowism that comes with UC Soros. And he kind of feels like the way the Predators treat UC Soros, and I'm talking about the general manager and the players and the organization, and it's the way the YouTube chat was treating Rand Carthon, where every single time something bad happened, it was never Rand's fault. Anytime the Predators lose anything, it is never the goalie's fault.
To be fair, that is a hockey-ism too. Like, no one, you know, right? I mean, to some extent, it's a hockey thing, right? It's never on the goalie. It's always we could have done better. Everybody does that, right?
Yeah, but I mean, like, again, just the amount of defense from everybody. Like, Willie and Chris Mason this offseason, when the entire radio station outside of Willie and Derek wanted to trade the goalie, Willie and Chris Mason are like, you guys don't understand how elite Soros is. And I'm like, if he's so elite, why do they never win? Well, you don't understand. And now he's got an 899 save percentage. You know, they go to Anaheim, who stinks. He gives up 50 goals in the game. I mean, it's a freaking joke. What happened is, and Robbie, I worry about this with the Packers a little bit, because the Packers brand is, you know, we draft and develop our quarterbacks. And they moved on to Jordan Love, and Jordan Love had that great end of the 23 season, and boom, $55 million for Jordan Love. Now, Jordan Love's pretty good, but, you know, is Jordan Love really a top-of-the-league starter? $55 million, you can give it to him right there, but it's because they wanted to. It's like they wanted to be like, we're on to our next guy, and he's our guy. It's why the Steelers won't move on from Mike Tomlin, because no matter what, it's like, hey, I know that our team has no chance of winning any good games, and we cratered down the stretch, but, I mean, our brand with the Steelers is that we never fire coaches. And I am convinced the Predators' brand is, we always have elite goaltending. But this guy is not elite. This guy is not Pecorine. If this guy was elite, this team would not stink as bad as they do. He leads the league in losses. Again, what sport are you elite at when you lead the league in losses in what you do? No quarterback who leads the NFL in losses is elite.
Now you're like, over-blaming him, but, you know. I hear what you're saying, but you're over-blaming a little bit here.
But I'm tired of the constant excuses. Like, you don't go on 8-game losing streaks and 5-game losing streaks and all these losing streaks they went on this year if you've got an elite goaltender who you've signed your life away to, which they have, because at some point the goalie steals a game that keeps you from losing 8 in a row. So this guy never steals the big game. He never wins in the playoffs. And yet the Predators are like, oh, no, he's an elite goalie, and you will see. And I'm like, he got the starting job in 2020. It is 2025. He has got a save percentage under 9 right now, which to me is the Mendoza line for goalies. If you're under 9, you stink. So he's never won a playoff series. They're the worst team in the league, or right there, you know, tracking to be one of the worst teams in the league. And I'm just sick and tired of watching him suck. And then I'm sick and tired of watching him lose games for the Predators and then getting finger wagged by everybody saying, you don't understand the game. It's not his fault. It's everybody in front of him's fault. Well, then let's not pay him the money. Let's pay everybody in front of him the money so that we can just stick Kevin Lankinen back there, or stick the other juice back there, who I think might even be better right now than Soros. Stick him back there and pay the $8 million to everybody else.
Jared Stillman. That's some good stuff there. I like it. Jared, thanks for being with us. We'll be listening at 2 o'clock.
Boys, take care.
You don't understand, Jared
Stillman, our guest here on the program. We'll react to what Stillman had to say there. Andrew Burdett will be with us at 7:30. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Check out Nashville's best deal this week. It's Single Tree Barbecue in Murfreesboro. Single Tree Barbecue, a local veteran-owned and operated business, only serving world-class barbecue with the perfect combinations of sides and desserts. Get half off a $25 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Appreciate Stilly for being with us in the last segment. We'll have Andrew Burnett coming up at 7:30 here on the program. Stilly got fired up on the UC Soros debate there with Hal Gill yesterday and then on our program just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, got some reaction. Texter says, I love Jared talking hockey, the most off-base takes. I'm going to say I don't think he was off-base. I think Jared with goalies and quarterbacks gets a little bit too into the, you know, it's like the quarterbacks are playing against each other.
Yeah.
I mean, record matters, but it is not a quarterback stat. Goal, you know, the losses thing. I'm more concerned with the performance. But the performance also says, obviously, as we've talked about this week, that it's just not good enough right now from UC Soros.
Yeah, like, look, he played great the other night against Vancouver. It's good to see. It was good to see him come back and play well. You know, I do think, and this has been a Predators thing, and it's certainly a league-wide thing, I think, to some degree, there's been way too much of, oh, well, it can't possibly be the goalie's fault over the years. I agree with Jared on that. Like, every now and then, it's the goalie's fault. Like, every now and then, the goalie that you're paying a lot of money needs to step up and stop the puck. Like, there's a lot of that sometimes gets swept under the rug. Look, you know, Eric on the text line brings up, first 40 games, the Predators were 2.8 goals per game, last in the league. Sheesh, terrible take. He was elite when they sucked, and now they're scoring, and he's in a slump. It's such a lazy take. Well, even that, like, I heard Willie talking about that the other day on DVD with Adam. Like, Adam pulled some numbers since basically mid-November when they played Winnipeg. And whether you want to go by traditional stats or goals saved above expected, like, he's one of the worst goalies in the league since then, just by the numbers. And before that, his numbers were really good, which is great. He definitely is in a slump right now. But again, they're getting ready to pay him 8 years for, you know, almost $8 million per year.
And they have paid. I mean, they are paying him.
Yeah, that. Well, and it's a fully guaranteed contract. You don't pay that to be off for half the year, right? Like, he was off for half the year a year ago, which is why they struggled out of the gate. Like, they had, you know, they had a system change with a first-year head coach in Brunette. There's a lot of things that went into that. But Soros was a big part of last season why they struggled out of the gate. And then, to his credit, he figured it out, along with the rest of the team, figuring some things out, and that's why they went on the run in the second half of the year. Like, right now, for the last couple of months, he's been bad. And regardless of what you think about whether or not he's, like, truly in decline, that's a different discussion. One thing that, to me, is not debatable, they're not paying him all this money to be bad for 2 months out of the year. Like, he's got to get it figured out. He's got to play better than he's played the last couple of years here on a more consistent basis.
No question. Mr. G says, Jared exaggerates everything. Yeah. But he is correct that the other juice is playing better than this juice.
Right now he is, yes.
He is. So it's an interesting point there by Jared on the whole branding thing. You know, like, this is what we do. This is what we are. You know, I mean, is it, you know, the Steelers comparison? Is that why the Steelers haven't fired? I think the Steelers haven't fired Mike Tomlin because their roster is more the issue than he is. But there is that. They love that. It's an incredible. Think about that. They have had three coaches in 50 years. Yep. That's insane. The Preds have had, well, I mean, the Preds, Pecorine was an elite goaltender.
Yeah.
They've been very good in net in their history.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I look, I think that maybe the Preds, I think the Preds in general sometimes are a little bit too, I'm trying to think of the right word. They're just too damage control-y at times, where it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, things aren't going well, man.
Yeah.
And I think that goes beyond goaltender.
I'd agree.
And so, you know, I just think, but again, there is also the hockey thing here, which is absolutely,
every team
I've never heard a hockey player say, yeah, I mean, if our goaltending was a little bit better, we'd, You know, we'd be all right. Like, it's all costs. You protect your goalie. You never criticize your goalie. It's never the goalie's fault. That's a hockey thing.
I watched Alex Georgiev one time for Colorado play one of the worst goaltending games I've ever seen and went in the Colorado room after, and they're like, yeah, we hung him out to dry tonight. I was like, well, not really. Like, he kind of just couldn't make a save. Like, that's kind of right. We all saw it. Sometimes it's okay just to – like, you don't even necessarily have to call your goalie out, but just, like, don't say – we hung him out to dry. Didn't really happen.
And even coaches, I mean, here and there, a coach will acknowledge, yeah, you know, there's one he'd like back. Yeah. That's about as far as I've heard criticism go. Yeah, he'd like that one back.
Speaking of coaches, we'll have Andrew Burnett coming up next. We'll get his thoughts.
We'll get him ripping sorrows here.
This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators head coach Andrew Burnett. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing good.
I appreciate you taking time to be with us. A little bit more of a crowded trip for you guys this weekend with the dads joining along. What's it like having all the fathers around for the father's trip?
Yeah, it's pretty unique, actually. Yeah, no, it's crowded, but it's unique. It's I was very fortunate to be part of the first one back in 98 with David and Barry. We had the first father's trip, and I think it's caught on. It's a great experience, I think, for everybody involved. And to be a part of, I've been lucky enough to be a part of, must be a dozen or so of them, and each one is pretty special. So I think you're excited to see the dads. The dads are excited to see their kids, and it's a pretty cool thing to do.
Andrew, we've been talking about UC Saros. Obviously, he's not playing the best hockey of his career right now. Just wondering, from your perspective, where he is, would you say he's in a slump right now, or are you concerned long-term about him?
No, I think he's, you know, I think probably we talked about a little bit earlier in the week, you know, maybe it wasn't his best hockey for a couple of weeks there. I thought he was outstanding the other night. I thought he was, you know, obviously the one goal in Anaheim, but the rest of the game, he kind of gave us a chance. And I'm not concerned at all. You know, I think especially when you see his body of work and what he's done and previous to my time, but even when I've been here, he's one of the best goalies in the league, and not concerned at all. And it was great to see him, can't even say rebound, but I just love his battle back. You know, I think with how competitive he is, the first goal in Anaheim and then the rest of the game, he was lights out, and I thought he was lights out and give us a chance on Tuesday to win a hockey game. So he's not concerned at all.
Bruno, on that front, as it relates to goalie, you've got, obviously, Onanen has come in. His numbers since joining you guys have been really, really good. And you know, I don't think a lot of Predators fans knew a ton about him when the trade was made. But what have you learned about him, kind of his makeup, and just the way that he's played for you guys in net since the trade?
Yeah, I think he's been really calm. You know, I think you don't know from – I saw him in Colorado a little bit. I guess you're thinking Colorado is such a good team. You're not sure what you're getting. And he's come in and he's been outstanding. He's really competitive. He's a great teammate. You know, you even see him on the bench the nights he's not playing. He's cheering guys on. And when he's in that, a little bit like his personality, he's very calming. I mean, he's a big guy. Things seem to hit him. You never feel panicked. And he's been put in some tough situations, as a lot of backups are. And he's gone in and he's been great. You know, I even look back at some of the games he's gone in, and you know, even when we pulled juice the one game, he came in. He was just, you know, just very calming, and he never felt like even if he let one in, he just felt he stayed the same. So he's been a great surprise. I think Benny and his group's done a great job with him, and I'm looking forward to see him, you know, kind of grow as a player here.
Do you, I know you know, he's gotten a little bit more work. Do you feel like, you know, you'd like to split things a little bit more? And is that something that could help Saros too, just to get a little bit, I mean, obviously a guy who's had 60-plus games, you know, starting in recent years, to get a little bit more rest through the course of a season?
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I think, you know, we feel really comfortable with the big juice. And with a little juice, I think maybe a little rest, you know, I think, especially where we're at right now, we're trying to figure some things out. And, you know, Juice has the Four Nations, Little Juice has the Four Nations Cup here coming. And You know, he's going to play some hockey, so we're going to have to rely on both of them. And, you know, we're in the world of day-to-day, and this is see where we're at. But, yeah, I think long-term we'll make those decisions.
So, Andrew, you guys have reshaped your defense corps this season, obviously, with the Carrier trade, and we know the guys that have come in. You know, what have you made overall of kind of the adjustment that you guys as a staff have had to make, your defense corps with guys like Barron and Willsby joining the fold throughout there, and then you combine that with some of the injuries you guys have had on the back end. What do you make of kind of where you are right now defensively?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a work in progress. Obviously, we've lost some pretty big pieces back there through injuries, and we lost Carr, and we lost McDonough, and we lost some guys, and we're trying to piece it together. I think it's given us a little bit, you know, I think if you look at the back end, we're probably a little bit more mobile than normally, where maybe a little more transitionally quicker and maybe a little bit more offensive. Lost a little bit of the big body. You know, Lowe's is such an important part of our team and really our identity with his physicality and his ability to play a different brand of hockey and his size. And, you know, him and Carr complement each other really well. So we kind of lost that, pretty much our shutdown pair. So we're moving other pieces in. And I think doing that, we've become, you know, maybe a little bit quicker transitionally and maybe lost a little bit of that physicality, identity pieces. So we're trying to piece it together. I think it's a little bit of a work in progress, but they all bring something different. Even you throw Blankenberg in there, I think he's been really good since he's come up. Willsby's shown signs that he could be, you know, a really good NHL defenseman. You know, Barron, you know, obviously the offensive part we got to work on a little bit on the other side of the puck. So they're fun pieces to work with. They brought us maybe a little bit different identity back there. And, you know, I think we're trying to figure that out.
I know you've said it won't be too long, I think, before you know, Luke Evangelista comes back. When he does come back, what do you want to see from him? How important is the rest of this season for him, Andrew?
I think it's important. I mean, I think for any young player, you know, especially the success he had last year and then started this year, and there's some adjustments and some changes that have happened with our team and probably lost a little bit of his role at different times and kind of lost his game a bit. So I think coming back in, it's going to be really important for him to kind of get back in. And, you know, there's still lots of hockey left. There's a great opportunity here for him to grab it. And I'm looking forward. I know he wants it. He's a very confident young kid, and he wants more. And there's an opportunity here for him to grab it. And I'm looking forward to when he gets back. I don't know if it'll be tonight or tomorrow, but it'll be pretty soon.
On the Svechkov front, we've talked with you about, you know, the speed that he can generate coming up the middle, you know, the size that I think he's naturally got here that has been impressive to watch. What do you think you've learned, I guess, about him that sticks out the most in terms of what you feel like he can be for you guys, both for the remainder of this season and long term moving forward?
Yeah, he's exciting. He's been an exciting, you know, especially since his, you know, the first time as a young kid coming in, I thought he had a really couple good games and he kind of slipped and he went back to the American League, and Carl and his staff did a really good job and they've done a great job with him, and he's come back and he's grabbed it and he's much more comfortable. And every game, every practice you're out there with him, you're pretty impressed, and he seems to get better every game he plays. So it's an exciting piece, I think, through the middle of the ice with his speed and his reach and his length. You know, and he's very responsible on the other side of the puck. So he's an exciting prospect for sure. He's played really well. Their line's probably been our best line here of the last stretch of games. So we're, you know, hoping he can continue to grow. And it's fun to watch him play with, you know, the younger players coming in. Zach and Tommy Novak's been, you know, kind of going here the last little bit. So they've been a fun line to be around and to watch.
All right, who have you got in the Super Bowl? Are you sick of the Chiefs too?
I was kind of hoping for the Bills, you know, obviously from Ontario.
For Pete, if nothing else, right? Yeah,
that's right. Exactly. You know, I've had Philly and a different pool, so kind of rooting for them. But it's fun to watch greatness. I mean, I think, you know, you know, we forget how these teams, and then when they're gone, and you kind of miss them. So to watch Mahomes play is pretty special and pretty unique. So I think, you know, it's hard to think they're not going to win, but it should be a great game. I'm looking forward to it, as I do every Super Bowl and every football game. So I kind of root for the Chiefs, even though I have the Eagles.
There you go. Andrew, great stuff, man. I really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Enjoy the Father's Trip. Good luck tonight, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Absolutely. Andrew Burnett, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Probably smart money there. I mean, he's got the Chiefs winning the game. It's hard to, you know, pick against that.
But he said he's kind of rooting for the Chiefs.
He's rooting for the Chiefs.
The Eagles go. And I'm with him on that. It's like I wanted the Bills to win, but now it's like, yeah, I'll take the history. I'll take the greatness. We should appreciate greatness while we're watching it.
I'll take the game being canceled. That's what I'll take.
Well, you're going to be in the teacups anyway. Who cares? You don't care.
That's true. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.
Okay. Did I say Rex Road right?
Rex Road.
Rex Road. Okay, let me do that again.
No worries.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. Not Rocks Road. You can check it out every day here on the program. Joseph, the floor is yours.
Haley's No Worries is
No Worries.
Will forever be one of my favorite things ever. Fantastic. So I feel like, you know, sometimes I don't have enough rants, but then I end up doing multiple things. I'm kind of becoming a little bit of a multi-ranter.
Yes, you are.
Right? So first of all, let me just get to this text. And this is someone who just mostly trolls us, and I usually don't read this person's text, but I will go ahead and read this to blast it. It says, "You shouldn't be giving opinions of players if you have no interest in the Senior Bowl. A lot of our players come from the Senior Bowl. It's about putting small school players against better competition to get better evals. It's critical!" All caps. It's how guys like Puka Nacua get drafted. All caps again. Bad take! So, you know how, first of all, I'm wrong all the time. So, again, I always want to have that as a disclaimer. I'm wrong about players all the time. So are you. So are all these people who get paid millions and wear suits and go to these things and harumph, harumph all day and then watch them in the blocking drills and think they know something and then they're totally wrong. But I evaluate players by watching them play football. I know it's a crazy idea. There's this awesome thing called college football in which players play the game of football. Try it. Thanks for your text.
They could actually be tackled. It's great.
I know. Isn't that wild? But I wanted to talk also today a little bit about the University of Michigan.
Okay.
I don't know if you've caught this week, but they have a response. They sent their response to the notice of allegations.
Oh, I've not seen this.
Oh, it's pretty funny, man. It's pretty funny. And I have no idea. Again, I don't know. I've kind of been skeptical that there's going to be some. I mean, they already have a show cause for Harbaugh. He's already.
Yeah.
You know, he's already toddled off to the NFL. Now, the funny thing about Harbaugh, so you missed all the Brett Bielema stuff this week, too?
I saw the Brett Bielema tweet that you sent me, but I did not, I guess, put two and two together to what it was referenced to.
Yeah, so that was a reference to their response that Bielema has been tweeting all week, like, oh, yeah, that's why you left, huh? But again, I just, like, their response is basically, like, you know, one of the responses is, you know, unless, yeah, here's one. So, it reset the universities, and I'm reading Matt Hayes. Matt Hayes wrote a good column at USA Today. He says, university says it respects confidential sources, but the NCAA can only present evidence and infractions from Connor Stallion's scouting scheme based on, quote, information that can be attributed to individuals who are willing to be identified. Well, that's definitely going to make it tougher to do that. And then, of course, we have the amazing stuff, which is, you know, Sharon Moore, the head coach, deleting 52 texts.
Yeah.
52 texts. Between himself and Stallions on the day that the scheme was uncovered, right? And so Michigan's response is he was so angry that Stallions was credited for all the work that he angrily deleted all the texts. It's fantastic.
It's a good sales job.
But Matt Hayes, one thing about this column, and basically the column is like Michigan exposed is just a common cheat, you know. I will say, though, I mean, I know people forget it, but you go back to like 2008, 2009 probably, maybe 9, 10 in there. I mean, Rich Rod got nailed at Michigan for, like, they were running full practices with coaches. I mean, they're totally cheating. You know, now again, now if you're a fan of the team or him, you're like, yeah, a little bit extra stretching in the NCAA. But, I mean, like, there are rules about coaches actually coaching offseason workouts for a reason. And they, so it's, let's not pretend like they haven't cheated before, but it is pretty funny here. Again, I don't know. If and if you saw the Connor Stallions, you never saw the Connor Stallions doc, did you?
No, I did. I ended up
okay. Watching, yeah. I mean, you came away from that thinking what?
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. I mean, it's my friends just really like college football. We are college football fans, and we just happened to send them to Georgia, which a team that we might have played in the playoff, but they're really good. We just like Georgia football. We just wanted to check out Between the Hedges.
I mean, really good friends with Shane Beamer.
Yeah, I mean, it's they got caught cheating. We'll see. You know, Ohio State Twitter is convinced that the big hammer's coming. And I mean, I still have my doubts, but I will say that like their response to this is definitely, it reads of someone who's guilty, but also maybe a little bit concerned.
Yeah.
You know, because again, this is the head coach of their team who directly deleted the 52 texts with Connor Stallions. I mean, there is a little bit of a direct link here to the leadership of the program.
Yeah, there's it's
interesting stuff.
It is interesting stuff. It's I mean, if you missed the documentary, that was on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you missed the Netflix documentary, I would encourage you to check that
out. It's good.
But just the whole thing is just wow. Then what was he doing this year? Wasn't he coaching high school football this year?
Yes, he is actually
like somewhere in Michigan.
Yeah, two different high schools, and actually
it's DeMace's alumni. Actually,
he was at Mumford.
Oh, he's not there anymore.
Well, then he went to I think Belleville, and Belleville is the high school. And again, like that's what's funny. If it was pre NIL, people would really be going nuts because it's the high school of Bryce Underwood who flipped from LSU to Michigan.
Yeah,
but now it's like, well, yeah, I mean Michigan can just pay him.
Yeah.
But maybe he was like, you know, hey, man, get that Connor Stallions personality. You know, or maybe he did a little bit of mind trick. I mean, this guy's like a CIA agent. Hey,
He's an absolute weapon out there.
Seriously.
It's unbelievable. One texter says, Joe, you don't know ball even when they play real football. Never forget you thought Milton would go before the fifth round with a crying, laughing emoji face.
Did I say before fifth? I think I said by the fifth.
I think you said fifth or before.
Yeah, I said fifth or before. Where'd he go?
I think the sixth.
Okay.
What the hell is wrong with that?
Listen, that is not your best example of me not knowing ball, okay? I can give you a million of them, including Ryan Leaf, superstar. Peyton's pretty good, but Ryan Leaf, superstar in the NFL. Okay, let's start there. So that's fine. I mean, if you want to call me a ball non-knower, then that's fine.
You called years ago that NWI was going to be wide receiver two for the Titans, and here we are. That's what he was all year.
But, I'm not taking credit for that. I was told by someone in the building they loved him. And I wrote it. And then Carr, you owe the fans an apology.
Maybe he owes people an apology.
Yeah, where's my apology from him for saying I owe the fans an apology?
That's the most important free agent for them to retain this offseason.
Seriously, right? This person says, I still think everyone was doing what Michigan was doing. It only got uncovered because Ryan Day was tired of getting his ass kicked, and I can't stand Michigan men. Yeah, everybody wasn't doing what Connor Stallions was doing. It was a freaking full-on Navy SEAL
operation.
I mean, everyone was not doing that. I promise you, okay? This was extraordinary, which is why the Big Ten suspended Harbaugh and was like, guys, I mean, read the Big Ten statement again from then. It's like, this is insane, basically. What are we doing? They suspended a coach in the middle of the season. He had to go to a judge to try to coach a game. You know how toothless these people are? They never punish anyone. But we act like that just doesn't mean anything.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Teron Davenport will join us next. We'll get his thoughts on what's been a busy week for him. The East-West Shrine Bowl, the Senior Bowl. TD has seen a lot of prospects. This week, we'll get his thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.